You have aligned to Congressman Mark Pocan on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're headed to Capitol Hill to check in on a range of issues before Congress, including President Trump's plan to send undocumented immigrants to so-called sanctuary cities. The president tweeted about it last weekend, saying he has the legal right to send migrants to areas where local authorities refuse to help federal officials in enforcing immigration laws. And so Milwaukee County, Madison, Racine have all been generally recognized as sanctuary places in the state. What questions do you have for the congressman? How do you want him to vote on immigration legislation? Mark Pocan is a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, which includes Madison, Beloit, and Dodgeville. Congressman Pocan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thanks, Kate. Glad to be here.
Well, before we get to immigration, let's start with the Mueller report. The Justice Department said that Attorney General William Barr will release Robert Mueller's report to Congress tomorrow morning sometime. What are you hoping will come out of this nearly 400-page redacted report?
Well, I hope that they redact it as narrowly and as necessarily as possible. I think the American people and Congress deserve to see the full report. So far, we've seen 65 words out of the 400 pages. So clearly, there's a lot more that we need to see. But I hope that they really give us the full extent of what the report was, because I think it's the best way for the American people to really be able to make their own decisions about what happened when the Russians tried to interfere in our elections.
And you have said that, quote, the American people deserve the full truth behind the special counsel's report, and any attempt to censor it will be unacceptable. Does that mean that if the report seems heavily redacted to you, that you would fight it in some way?
Oh, no question. I recently did an open records request on the 83 arrests last September by ICE, and after 138 days of waiting for a response, I got 297 pages out of 400 redacted. I mean, clearly, you know, that sort of thing is not acceptable. I don't think we'll get anywhere close to that on the Mueller report, but, you know, we really have to be very careful that we're only redacting things that are of real national security needs, and there's a few other qualifiers. But really, most everything else should be in the public domain, and I hope that they take that spirit to the report, and then I look forward to reading it, as I think everyone in the country does.
Right, so as this comes into the public domain, what is the next move for Democrats here?
Well, I think it's really to see what all happened. I mean, let's remember what this is about: Russians interfering with our elections. We want to make sure that no country or individual, for that matter, can ever do that again. So this should be a good learning experience. But if it turns out along the way people were doing anything to obstruct justice or anything else, we also need to know that. So I think that's why the report was done. Clearly, it's been one of the most successful reports of its kind we've had. There were, I think, somewhere in the mid-30s, number of people that were indicted, several hundred federal crimes. And you think back to the Benghazi investigation that went 4 years and there were zero indictments. I mean, this is a real, a very active report that did a good job of getting to criminal activity. This should be seen by everyone who wants to see it.
We're talking with Mark Pocan, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. You have a line at 800-642-1234. What question do you have for Congressman Pocan? How do you want him to vote on immigration legislation? What actions do you want out of House Democrats regarding the federal budget? Call in at or email ideas at WPR.org. Congressman, President Trump has said that immigrants without authorization to be here in the U.S. will be diverted to these so-called sanctuary cities, which are cities that say they won't assist in immigration enforcement or deportation. Is this something you expect the president will follow through on?
This idea is so incredibly silly and stupid. I would expect it from, I don't know if you remember the old Beavis and Butthead cartoon, the adolescent underachievers who'd come up with something like this, not from the president and Stephen Miller. If you're really trying to stop people from coming across the border, you don't offer them across the country transportation, which is what essentially this idea is. It makes no sense whatsoever. We've had bad idea after bad idea when it comes to the border with this White House, and it's really getting to a breaking point. I mean, if you want to stop people from coming from countries that have horrific conditions, we've got to help improve those conditions. If we want to stop drugs from coming into this country, we know 90% come through legal ports of entry, not across the southern border, then beef up the activity at the legal points of entry. But building a wall or giving people bus tickets across the country, why don't we just give them a bank account? You know, maybe that would really convince them not to come. It just falls in the idea of cartoon world and not serious proposal.
So how do we improve conditions on the southern border and at these legal ports of entry? What do you do?
Well, one is you go back to some of the ways we used to do with this. Instead of detaining every single person, which is very, very expensive, and we had rates of 95% plus showing up to their legal proceedings previously because they're claiming asylum, because they're trying to escape violence. They want to be a part of this country. That worked well, and it was much less expensive. I mean, what we really need to do is have comprehensive immigration reform. With this president, that may be difficult, but doesn't mean we shouldn't be trying. But doing what we're doing now, separating kids from their parents at the border, I think we're about to go back to that by watching what's happening right now with the president and some of the actions and getting rid of the Homeland Security Secretary, withdrawing his nomination to be the head of ICE. You know, we're going back to all these acting directors. So once again, Donald Trump is really the director of all these areas. And he's the one who's had a lot of these ideas that, you know, let's just say generously they're bad ideas. Well, and they're not accomplishing the very goals that he claims we need to protect the border, which is the human trafficking and the drugs and the gang activity. None of those address that.
Well, let's look, though, at what Congress is doing to this extent. On Twitter, the president said, quote, "Congress must fix the laws and loopholes he sees as forcing the release of illegal immigrants." How can Congress get on the same page?
Well, again, you know, if you have a 95% plus success rate, that wasn't broken. When you have children who've been here, like in the DACA program, since maybe they were 2 weeks or 2 months old, and they may not know the country they originally were born in or speak the language of that country, shipping them back, that's something he broke. So many of the ideas that he's put forward are his own problems that he's created. And we need to do, again, is have, when I first sessioned in Congress, four sessions ago, we had a bipartisan bill come out of the Senate with nearly 70 votes that was comprehensive immigration reform. It had a pathway to citizenship for aspiring Americans. We've got about 13 million people here who are undocumented, and it had some protections at the borders. We need to go back to that rather than the way this president has addressed the border.
Let's take a moment here and look at ICE. In February, you stood outside the headquarters of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, distributing what looked like missing posters that asked if people had seen a request you submitted for information about raids conducted here in Wisconsin. What was going on there? What came of that?
Yeah, you know, it's odd. Generally, when I was in state government for 14 years, or now 6-plus years here in the federal government, when you have a request of an agency, they're very willing to give you information because you are an elected lawmaker and you're in charge of their budgets and all sorts of things like that. This is my first Freedom of Information Act request I've had to do in 6 years in Congress was to ICE when they arrested 83 people in Wisconsin. They refused to tell my local law enforcement in South Central Wisconsin or my local elected officials anything about the raids. In fact, in Dane County, for 6 weeks, they communicated with other counties and they refused to contact our local law enforcement. And, you know, when you do something like that, you have to engage local law enforcement so they know what's going on. But they won't tell us what the arrests were for. They told us it was a list of 250 people that committed crimes. Well, we couldn't get any answers, so I did a Freedom of Information Act request. They refused to provide answers to that. And I finally had to stand outside the headquarters and hand out missing posters. And we found out why, because about 40 to 50% of those people had no crimes whatsoever, and very few people had the type of crimes that they told us they were going after.
Pausing right there, talking with Congressman Mark Pocan about pressing issues on Capitol Hill. You have a line, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's a conversation with Congressman Mark Pocan on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. House Democrats' new left liberals have swelled the ranks of the Congressional Progressive Caucus to close to 100 members, and Representative Pocan is co-chair. We saw the influence of this caucus recently when House Democratic leaders scrapped plans to vote on a two-year budget blueprint that would have increased both military spending and domestic spending. What questions do you have for Congressman Pocan? How do you want him to vote on a 2020 spending bill? You can call in 800-642-1234, tweet us WPR Mornings. Let's go to the phones now with Gary joining us from Iron River. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, good morning, folks. The comment I want to make about this whole argument of the fence is it seems like the arguments have just become silly. When do we ever see gates without fences, whether it's around a farmer's field, whether it's an entry to an amusement park? You got to have something to force people to the gate. We don't see the amusement park people have a gate and then have a whole line of people to protect the perimeter and force people there. It just seems like such a basic common sense idea that the political arguments have made it impossible for people to think rationally about.
So Gary finds that we're just not thinking rationally about the border wall. Congressman?
Yeah, so to Gary's point, about a quarter of the border, maybe it's a slightly less than that, does already have some type of fencing where the more populated areas are, where they need to have it. But this is 2,000 miles of largely completely empty land that makes no sense to build a very, very expensive border wall when you could have drones doing observation. You could have so many other modern ways of doing technology that don't require a medieval solution, which is a wall, that you could do that for a fraction of the cost and still have all the security. And we know that 90% of all the drugs that enter this country come through legal entry points. So let's beef up the protections there. There are better, smarter alternatives to doing this, and I think that's what we're really trying to propose.
Gary, thanks for the call. Congressman, let's look at the Progressive Caucus, which you co-chair. There's been some infighting among House Democrats over budget caps recently. The Progressive Caucus wants just as much money to be spent on domestic programs as defense. What can you tell us there, and why does the caucus want to see this change?
Yes, first of all, I think it's a largely overblown inside the Beltway story on that. So just because the way it normally is done, things are not necessarily done these days up front. They're done as we do the final negotiations in September, and we can change things anywhere along the way. So this was a bit of a, reporters in D.C. looking to find some controversy story. But to the broader point, this nation needs to seriously invest in our infrastructure. We need to make sure that everyone who needs access to health care has access to health care. And those things are the non-defense spending areas of the government. Just in infrastructure alone, our nation's infrastructure has been given a D-plus grade by the American Society of Civil Engineers, and one out of every six bridges is old enough to be eligible for Medicare, just to make it a visual. So we need to invest in those sorts of things, and we wanted to make sure that the non-defense spending was increased as it used to be to the defense spending levels, so that we actually prioritize things like education, healthcare, and infrastructure rather than just increasing the defense side. So really, it's investing in what we need to really support the vast majority of Americans. And, for too long, that's been neglected, and we really need to start getting focused on that. And that tax bill, people just saw, they paid their taxes the other day. They were promised, the average family was promised a $4,000 pay increase because of that tax bill. Not only did people not get the pay increase, they also didn't get the refund. And at the end of the day, that added $1.9 trillion to the nation's deficit. Those are the sort of things we have to address, not cutting back on spending money on bridges that are 60 or 70 years old.
Well, getting back to the Progressive Caucus for a moment, you've seen your ranks growing, especially as newcomers come into the House. Do you find that Democrats are on the same page with the vision that the Progressive Caucus wants to lay out?
Well, I think we've been incredibly unified, especially the first 100 days. We ran on three big areas in November, cleaning up the corruption in Washington, dealing with health care and the cost of prescription drugs, and dealing with infrastructure and raising people's wages. We've already passed our first bill we passed, H.R. 1, was a bill that was a comprehensive election, campaign finance, and ethics reform bill. Every single Democrat voted for it, and every single Democrat was a sponsor. We've passed two bills on gun violence prevention. We've passed a bill on paycheck equity for women who are making 80 cents on the dollar to men. We've addressed the crisis in Yemen, although just last night the president vetoed that bill. We're going to have to revisit that when we come back. But we've done all sorts of things, and in the works is a minimum wage increase, is some infrastructure spending, is more bills to address the cost of prescription drugs. We're all doing this in unison. So I think what's really interesting is after the last 2 years, Congress really doing nothing but passing a tax break where 83% of the benefit in a decade goes to the top 1%. We've been actually doing the things that we promised voters we'd do, and we're doing it hand in hand. So I think those are all good progressive ideas, and I'm really proud that the Democrats are moving forward together on these efforts.
One of the policies you've said the caucus will promote is Medicare for all. Where do you see that going for your caucus, and will it get traction?
Yes, I'll tell you, I'm starting my town halls today. I've got two in Darlington and Monroe this week, and then we've got four more next week while I'm home. One of the things that comes up at every town hall, and usually someone comes up afterwards, is they're afraid they're going to lose access to their health care. We've got people afraid that if we lose the protections that came with the Affordable Care Act for pre-existing conditions, that their child may not have health insurance. This is like a real kitchen table economic core issue to most families. The problem is there's been death by a thousand cuts to the Affordable Care Act. We need to shore it up, and you're not finding the president or the Republican Senate willing to do that. I think America is just tired of all these different solutions that still don't give health care, and they look at countries like Canada and most of Europe where people have it as a right, and Medicare for All would do just that. Medicare is one of the most popular programs, the programs that the federal government has, and it's an idea that we don't have enough votes to pass it yet, but we are definitely in the period where we're trying to educate people and educate lawmakers about why Americans are desperate to have health care coverage for their families.
Let's go to Steve now, joining us from Sun Prairie with thoughts. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Hey, you know, one of the things that the story about the whole Russian collusion thing that really came out that's been made public is that the Russians really were attempting to cause divisiveness within our populace. They were sending out emails that were for Black Lives Matter and others against Black Lives Matter. That was really their intent. One of the things that Democrats have been doing for the past 10 years has been to really promote that idea using identity politics. My question is, what is Mark doing specifically to stop the Democrats from using identity politics, which is causing divisiveness, which is exactly what the Russians want?
Congressman Pocan?
Yes, Steve, I guess I disagree with some of your premise. I agree with you on, you're right, that was one of the tactics the Russians used. Also, we know the Russians said their intent was to elect Donald Trump. That's not a question. So I think that issue is a little different than your other issue. First of all, I don't think we use identity politics. We are a big tent as Democrats. We do have a very diverse membership that represent the party. Therefore, you're going to have a lot of diverse voices, and we understand that. We don't have to agree with each other on every single issue, but we do have to move forward together on important issues like health care and climate change and investing in our infrastructure and raising people's wages. Those are things that we do have to work together on, and that's why I think every bill I just told you that we passed in the first 100 days addressed those issues, and nothing really addressed what you just said the problem was, which is identity politics. So I think often Fox News and Republicans want you to think that's what we're only talking about, but the proof is in the bills that we've actually passed this session, and that's anything but that.
We had a caller who couldn't stay with us, wanted to know how you're approaching the current dairy situation in Wisconsin. Dairy farmers are struggling, farms are going dark. How are you working to tackle this problem?
Yeah, that is a great question, a big concern. My district obviously has a lot of dairy. Prices are about as low as they've been, and that's causing a lot of problems. But the real problem we're facing right now is the president not having a coherent trade policy. Because of his fights with China and over NAFTA with Canada and Mexico, there have been a lot of tariffs that have been thrown back and forth, often by us, then getting retaliatory tariffs. And some of that has caused a real additional squeeze on dairy farmers and also soy farmers and others, soybean farmers in the district. So this is something that, one, we have to get the president to a coherent trade policy, because we don't need self-inflicted wounds for already a depressed pricing structure for dairy. And two, I think we need to do everything we can to help keep family farms. We've been fortunate in Wisconsin compared to other states. We still have a lot of family farms, but we lost over 500 last year alone, and we've got to do something to support that, and I think we need to have a lot more efforts focused on that rather than trade wars that give us tariffs that make it harder to sell overseas.
Congressman Pocan, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Kate. I really appreciate it.
Mark Pocan is a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, including Madison, Beloit, and Dodgeville. Coming up, the Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development joins us to talk about his priorities for workers and employers in the state and overcoming the challenges that both groups face. That's after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.